You had said once that Shorty thought to you about his family, there was something his parents were, there was an orphan. What was his family like?
Shorty's family separated. He had four sisters, I think, but the father wasn't around much in Shorty's life, so he was a little bit on the bitter side about family life. But he had some wonderful sisters. After the war, his mother brought him home, the body home, and we had a military funeral. And I rounded up the troops from the Chicago area, even Captain Dixon from Michigan there was at the funeral. And we gave him a real good burial.
Tell me about the day Shorty was killed.
Now, it was the third event we had on Hill 122. The first event was the road going up on the left side of the hill. We had to go up and repair an A Company tank track that was blown off, damaged beyond control. So as we were going up there with our recovery unit, the Germans were laying artillery on me. So as we got to the crest of the hill, it got pretty hot. So I said, shut it off and run for cover. And I jumped off and ran behind the tank and got crawled underneath it and grabbed onto a two-inch limb and turned my head sideways. There's not much room. There's only about eight, ten inches of room. And all of a sudden, a piece of shrapnel hit that limb right in front of me and in my eyes, and it started smoking. It was red hot. And I said, oh, boy, that would have went right here. And I backed out of there, and I stood behind, and crouched behind the tank, and thought, well, the most I'd lose is an ankle or a foot. And it quieted down. And I said, all right, everybody stay here. One of the guys came with me. I think I had Louis Fernandez or somebody come with me. And I, we went up the hill to see what we had to do. And here was an A Company tank up on top of the hill in plain view, open view. And down across the valley was a silent Tiger tank, German Tiger tank, pointed right at us. And I surveyed the area and looked at the tank tracks. And I got back to my unit and I told the guys the situation. I said, we'll pull up there right alongside that tank. And two of you guys take the block, you know, five block section off the track. And we'll take five off of the crippled tank and get them in there. And with the new screw jack that was just given to us in England before we went overseas, boy, otherwise we had to use cables to draw them tracks together. But with these jacks, this wonderful guy that came up with the invention of these jacks was a lifesaver, because it was very dangerous using cables to draw them tank tracks together and put them clamps on it. So it only took us about 20 minutes to change that section of track, and they were off on their way, and we were on our way.
No, he
was out of order. I mean, he was stuck in the mud, is what. So, and the crew abandoned it, and they couldn't use it.
No, I didn't.
But I seen the dirt tank turn, all our tanks run. What are you waiting for? Why aren't they firing back? You know, but the artillery was coming from the direction of St. Louis. I'll get to that a little later. After the third day.
But that first day, when you said that you wanted a tank backing out way back, you said, oh, that token log, that piece of shrapnel going to hit you right here. You pointed at your heart.
Yeah.
But that is, you can't visualize that on a tape recorder. And then when you said you crawled out and you said, oh, I think I'll lose a foot or a part of my leg. That's because there's still more shelling going on. And you thought, well, if I end up just losing my foot, that ain't so bad. But you managed to get out of that whole box.
Well, anyway, we got back to camp that day, and then the next day, we had to go right back out. There was a D Company tank, and this is where we were with A Company tank over on the left, and Shorty's expedition was in the middle, and D Company tank was on the south, on the right far end, and it was turned over in the ditch, and we, it was no problem for us to upright it and get it back on the road, but we couldn't turn it around. The road was narrow. We weren't on the main road. We were across a ditch course, there was a cottage back there and a great big tree in a circle. So I spotted it from while we were working there. And I said, we'll go up there and turn around. And then while we were turning around, the guys were in that cottage looking place over. And then I heard some small arm fire. And I said, come on, we got to get the hell out of here. And I was finishing turning the tank around and getting ready to go. And everybody was on there on call in. And I was still outside directing Shorty on the double go. And I jumped behind a tree, great big tree for protection, and giving him the signals, come on, get going. And don't stop for me, because when that D Company tank went by, I ran around the safe side of it and I crawled on and we got out of there. But while I was standing by that tree, a bullet came along and peeled the bark off that tree, so that guy had me zeroed in. We went down the road a little ways, not far, and the damn tank, the drawbar connection, had a big cotter pin in there, and the pin has a locking pin in it, and nobody put a locking pin back in there. And as we went down the road, the big pin came out, and only one side of the toolbar was pulling, so the tank went crooked and it went in the ditch, and Lord, it made me blow my stop, because they didn't put that little pin in the hole and lock that pin in. So I had a difficult time getting that in because the toolbar got bent, but with that big buffalo bar, I was able to bend that toolbar and get the pin in there and lock it. And then at that time, the engineers or somebody had laid a heavy smoke screen, and the Germans couldn't see me anymore. So it got quiet until we started going down the road. And then as we went down the road, instead of turning towards camp, we went back where there was some other D Company tanks by a quarry. And there was a couple of fruit trees in there. So I says, pull in under that tree. And then Cochin showed up in the Jeep. Sergeant Cochin was over me. I got his rank later on because he had trouble. And they were going to take that rank and give it to the transportation people. But I battled away about it. I had something on Captain Lang. I don't want to say that's one. We pulled into that quarry, and as we were pulling into that quarry, right at the entrance of it, there was a big shell came in, and it landed on the opposite side of the hedgerow, and it took that hedgerow and laid it on my tank, and it buried me because I was on the outside riding above the assistant driver's hatch. I was sitting in that fork of the boom. That was my favorite spot. I was always there because when I had to get up, I'd be out there. So I got buried, and my jacket got all ripped, but I didn't get no scratch on my skin. And shells continued to come in. So Cochin says, Stever, you take this foxhole. And he directed the other people. There's more foxholes over here. So they all got in a hole, and I jumped in a hole, and I saw a silver wire in there with a bunch of leaves and junk over there. And I visualized what that thing was. It was a potato masher, German hand grenades, and that big old wooden thing like that. And I had all the nerve to roll out, and I couldn't talk. Coach said, what the hell's the matter with you? I pointed, and he looks in that hole. Oh, my God. Smokey, don't get up. Lay low. He found a piece of log. He threw it in there. It come flying out, all broke up in pieces. Oh, boy. And
were the other foxholes okay?
Yeah, everybody was all right. Yeah, that was the only one that was booby-trapped. Yeah. Yeah, boy. And
what's the thing you was like? Okay.
Oh, all right.
And be on that box at 2:30.
Oh, the next one is when Charlie gets it, phase three.
We'll get to phase three. Yeah. Let's get back to the barbecue.